Last year, as part of its Something in Common exhibition, the Central Library in downtown LA put up a display of 99 cookbooks. From radiologists and rock collectors to zoo docents and Air Force wives, all of these books were written by groups of ordinary people. To artist, curator, and writer Suzanne Joskow, they are a sociological treasure trove. She's been collecting these self-published efforts in her online Community Cookbook Archive LA. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited about this. Your archive is extraordinary.
Oh, thank you so much.
So just for the purposes of laying out kind of a definition, how do you describe what a community cookbook is?
Sure, that is an excellent question. And of course, this is just my own loose definition of what makes a community cookbook. But for the purposes of this project, I have defined a community cookbook as a group of recipes from a collective group or organization rather than an individual author. It's usually, as you mentioned, a book that features home cooks rather than professional chefs. Typically, community cookbooks are also self-published, which one of the reasons for that is that they are often used as a fundraising tool. And actually, historically, community cookbooks were often put out by women's groups who didn't have access to other modes of fundraising. And then something else I like to talk about is community cookbooks are really strongly connected to place. So for this project, I focus specifically on LA County, and it is very common for the books to celebrate place in all sorts of ways.
Do community cookbooks have a heyday, a certain time when more were published than ever?
You know, that is such an interesting question. I would say, in my experience, that somewhat is connected to the history of publishing wherever you are looking. So Los Angeles was somewhat late to the publishing industry, even for the West Coast. It was behind San Francisco. So book publishing didn't take off here until the 1880s. And almost immediately, there was a community cookbook published. So some of it has to do with kind of the physical resources for publishing. And of course, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, companies that would help you publish a community cookbook popped up. And so I think there was a flourishing of community cookbooks during that time because there was a kind of easier publishing resource. The same thing with kind of photocopying and Xerox created an opportunity with a low-cost point to self-publishing. So that is an era I would point to, but I also really do like to point out community cookbooks, certainly in Los Angeles, span three centuries.
So you mentioned that almost as soon as publishing began in Los Angeles in the 1880s, a community cookbook sprang up. What can you tell us about that one?
Sure. So that was a book called Los Angeles Cookery, which was published by a church ladies' aid society in 1881. That one is not in the archive that I have, although the oldest book I have in the archive is from 1894, also published by a church women's group. That one is called How We Cook in Los Angeles. Of course, no one singular book can take on that title of saying how one cooks in Los Angeles. But again, you see that interest from the very beginning of kind of presenting a story of food that's really connected to where these women lived.
Do you see, as time moves on, different ethnic communities represented, or were they primarily kind of white women based in churches and women's groups that were publishing these books?
So that is a really excellent and important question. You see all sorts of immigrant groups, even later on, native groups taking oral tradition and documenting it for the first time in their own words. Everyone is represented in these community cookbooks. There are quite a few bilingual cookbooks in the archive, but I know there are many more out there that are just simply not in English at all that I have not come across because that doesn't show up in the way that I'm researching, or I might see one and not even know that's what it was if I didn't speak the language. But to answer your question more specifically, yes, almost from the beginning, certainly from the turn of the last century, you see real evidence in these cookbooks of the wide range of Los Angeles.
In the process of doing this and deciding to focus so hard on LA, which is really impressive to me because I know that my own sort of searching for older books is somewhat driven by being enticed by a cover, that I really admire your focus. What have you learned about LA history and culture in particular that you're just thrilled to be able to share?
Something that has come up in focusing on LA County is so much of LA's own history as it connects to food shows up in these books. So as I mentioned, whether that's use of indigenous plants like acorn flour or nods to more modern agriculture that was really entwined with Los Angeles's growth, so much of the way LA told the story of itself to the rest of the world as it started to grow was about bountiful produce. And you see a lot of evidence of that in these cookbooks. Early recipe books will have pages and pages of preserving citrus because, of course, there was an abundance of citrus available. And you also see a specificity and kind of expected familiarity with plant varietals. A recipe calling, you know, not just for plums, but for greengage plums or a certain kind of musk melon. There's an anticipation that the reader will have access to certain local produce, particularly in the earlier books. And then there's also anticipation of access to imported ingredients available at immigrant-run markets. So there's a really early vegetarian cookbook that was put out in the early 1900s by the Theosophical Society. And that book calls for soy or in some places shoyu. And there's an expectation that that was available in Los Angeles, and it was.
You write that the domestic kitchen was long the domain of women. And so these books give particular insight into gendered expectations and experiences. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I often like to talk about community cookbooks as subversive narratives. And this surprises some people because what can seem, you know, more staid than a, quote, sewing circle cookbook. But the inclination to dismiss actually offers these books a lot of storytelling power. I say so much is smuggled inside of community cookbooks well beyond recipes. As a result of being self-published, these books serve as primary sources, and they offer snapshots of lives that often weren't documented in professional publications. So you end up seeing not just recipes in these books, but photographs, personal essays, poems, and as we talked about, lots and lots of hand-drawn illustrations, sometimes photographs of women's clubhouses that are now long gone, and the only place they were really documented were in these cookbooks.
And to that, I'm wondering, you have all of these cookbooks that have so much import that go beyond food on a plate, and yet they are recipe books. Could you pick one recipe and just tell us about it?
There is no one quintessential recipe from this project. I think that's the takeaway, too. There's nothing universal about these cookbooks other than the fact that we all eat food. I think that the pleasure is somewhat in their distinctness. But I think one recipe that might be fun to share is for tomato soup cake, which some people may be familiar with. I don't know, have you ever made a tomato soup cake?
I never have, but I am immediately intrigued.
I had thought of it as sort of an oddity of the 1970s, and the recipe I have is, I'm going to share, is from that era, but it turns out it's a much older recipe than that. It dates back to like 1920s, 1930s cookbook put out by Campbell Soup Company.
And
they had a newly condensed tomato soup, and they were trying to teach women about different ways that they might use this at home, what they might buy this soup for. And of course, they thought, why not dessert? And so it starts out as a marketing idea, but then, you know, trickles down into being a family favorite. And here you have a 1978 recipe for it, no longer even connected back to Campbell's necessarily. But I thought it's a fun one to share because it's unusual. But then once I made it, I have to say it's not so dissimilar from a zucchini or carrot cake, a spice cake. It has a cream cheese frosting.
I love that. Thank you so much. This has been so interesting.
Thank you so much for your interest in this project, and it's just such an honor to speak with you. Thank you.
That was Suzanne Joskow, the founder and curator of the Community Cookbook Archive LA. Head to kcrw.com/goodfood for a link to her project. You can peruse hundreds of cookbooks and recipes, including that tomato soup cake. And if you have a community cookbook from Los Angeles County that you want to share with Suzanne, we have information on how to get in touch with her. The Market Report is on deck, and Chef Jeremy Fox has ideas for what to do with persimmons. Stay with us.